Hi, it's Lucy, and welcome back to a bonus episode of The Real Girls Club, my podcast where I shine a spotlight on the talented women working in cinema. Today, I'm joined by not one, but two talented directors, Vicky Curtis and Doug Anderson, whose new documentary, Comparsa, will have its world premiere at the Sheffield Documentary Festival. Set in Ciudad Peronia, Guatemala, Comparsa follows sisters Leslie and Lupe, whose lives were shaped by the tragic 2017 fire at a state-run children's home, a horrific event that killed 41 girls when police guards refused to release them from a locked schoolroom. The fire and the wider epidemic of gender-based violence it represents becomes the spark that drives Leslie and Lupe to action. Through music, performance, and street protest, they rally their community to transform grief into resistance, culminating in a vivid and defiant festival in the streets of Ciudad Peronia. In this episode, we talk about how the filmmakers approached such a sensitive story, the power of art as protest, and why Comparsa is ultimately a celebration of girlhood, resilience, and the will to reclaim joy. Hi guys, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about your film Comparsa. I'd love to say, first of all, just what a beautiful documentary and piece of filmmaking. I watched it on Sunday and I thoroughly enjoyed it, so it's a pleasure to meet you both and be able to talk about it with you in more detail. So for those that haven't seen the documentary yet or will be seeing it soon, could you both introduce Comparsa to me and its origins in the Ciudad Peronia? Yeah, what drew you both to this story of grief, art, and community transformation?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. So Comparsa centers the story of two sisters. When we met them, they were teenagers, Leslie and Lupe. And they live in Ciudad Peronia, Guatemala, which is a peripheral neighborhood on the outskirts of Guatemala City, considered a red zone neighborhood in the press or by the government as too dangerous to put resources and investment into. So there's a lot of stigma for the people who live in the red zone communities, despite their heart and their bravery and their amazing work that they're doing. So Leslie and Lupe, they use art as their main tool for rallying the youth in the community around a call to action. And in our film, they're specifically focusing on violence against women and girls and how to call for an end to that. And in the strategy they use is that the process itself for calling for an end to violence against women and girls is a healing process for the women and girls who participate in their work. So they use art to basically bring that message out onto the streets. They do murals. And in the film, we also capture doing this wonderful wild street parade called the Comparsa. The Comparsa has stilt walkers, fire breathers, a drum line that does batucada drumming. It has giant puppets, people in costumes that are made by a local scene. Like it's a local happening that takes over the streets, march through past, you know, different across different gang barrier lines, and they are sort of accepted and offer an opportunity for rejoicing for the whole community. And everyone comes out and sees what's going on, what's all the fuss. And it's really fun. And they, you know, have built a bunch of little puppets to hand out to young girls to get involved. And you sort of feel like you're at a party before you even know what it's about. And then they sort of deliver the message. So the art ends up being almost a Trojan horse to bring people in and call people in the fight to end violence against women. And the thing that we went down there to see what they were doing and what they were using their art to accomplish. And at that time, when we first went down to start filming, they were grieving the loss of a friend who died in a very notorious incident that is referred to in Guatemala as the Safe House Fire, where 41 girls who were the state, basically, that were supposed to be in a safe home for youth. They were locked in a room when a fire broke out, and the people that were supposed protectors left them in the locked room for 9 minutes whilst they burned to death. So that is considered like a huge stain on Guatemalan history, something that happened in 2017, and something that really spurred Leslie and Lupe on to say that could have been any of us, like any girls from our community, any of our friends could have been in that safe home at that time. It could have even been me, it could have been Lupe, it could have been Leslie. So they really feel like very close to the event, their friend that they lost in the fire is named Siona. So they decide to create this women's festival and this women's comparsa. And the people at the center of it are the girls of the community.
It's really amazing what they've done, considering such a tragic event that happened. And, it's amazing that it spurred them on. It didn't defeat them, it spurred them on to use art and performance as a sort of form of protest. How did you initially meet them and, decide to make this documentary? I guess quite simply as a question, yeah, how did it, you sort of think, okay, we want to make a documentary about this?
Sure. So it's been a long road, and it's hard to know where to start. Because we can start is that Vicky and I know each other literally from when we were 5 years old at the kindergarten
Oh,
bus stop.
wow.
So we grew up together. And the reason that's relevant, besides that we've known each other for a long time, is that another friend of ours named Anna Haddingham, she moved to our town in elementary school, and we met her when we were in sixth grade. And Anna, Vicky, and I were all part of a progressive theater program in our local public high school that left a huge impression on us. A lot of devised theater, a lot of ensemble-based practice. And it became, even though we were all academic high achievers and very, school meant many things to us, but I think that we all left that program with theater and that specific collaborative process there. We left with that at the center of what we wanted our professional and creative lives to be built around. And so Anna, after college, went off to do a service trip in Guatemala, intending for it to last a summer. 10 years later, she was still there. She had discovered an organization called Peronia Adolescente, which ended up, as you know, at the center of this film. It's an organization that was founded by teens from the community of Ciudad Peron in the 1990s, when basically these young people were sick of not having a place to be able to create art and organize together. So they took it upon themselves with very little resources to form an organization there, which served as a literally a safe space for people to get together and make art and put on things like comparsas. So Anna, our dear friend, worked for that organization, worked with Marta, who is the founder, one of the founders of the organization, for many years. And we just, being Anna's friend, we were hearing every time we'd all be home for the holidays, we'd be hearing about this incredible program, this incredible methodology. And eventually, Vicky and I independently went to visit Anna just as friends, just to catch up and see what her life was like there. And both of us were so struck by this organization and what we saw there. And since Vicky and I both, we had never collaborated professionally together on a project, but both of us worked in documentary film. And in the summer of 2019, we were, all three of us were together, and we thought, it really feels like this is a place with a story to tell. And we still weren't quite sure what it was. But Anna had told us about these two sisters, Leslie and Lupe, who were kind of rising up into a position of leadership in the organization. At the time, they were in their teens. And so we went on just what we thought was going to be a scouting trip in September 2019. And within just a few days of filming, we were just completely blown away by Leslie and Lupe as people, as characters, collaborators. They had ideas, and it wasn't just, following them around. They also, oh, could we try to do this, this, and that? And so basically, we came out of that first kind of preliminary shoot with a lot of material that's still in the film that makes up a lot of the first 15 minutes of the movie. And the rest, I guess, is history. We thought that we were going to make, at that point, again, 2019, we thought we would make one trip back in the spring of 2020. We would shoot the preparations for a comparsa and the comparsa itself. And then we would make within a year a beautiful 30-minute short doc. And then COVID hit in March. And so plans were on hold. But in the meantime, we had also started a collaboration in the first time we were shooting there. We had gone down with a cinematographer, Sebastian La Sosa Rogers. And while we were there, one of the people we worked with was Edgar Tui, who is a friend of Leslie and Lupe's. He's a photographer from the community. And because he was there, we were able to send him a camera and have him continue the project until we were able to come down finally in 2022 to shoot the actual comparsa. So it ballooned into what was going to be a 1 year project, has been a 6 year project. But we were just so excited about what that spending that amount of time with a community and with two protagonists, what it can achieve in terms of storytelling. We're just.
Yeah.
So we pivoted to a feature length.
Yes, so now it's a feature film.
Yeah. I mean, what a lovely story to how it sort of came about. And from your own backgrounds in theater and performance, you probably felt a sort of direct connection with the sisters as well, that they were so enthusiastic about performing arts as a way of, I don't know, healing and well-being for the community.
Totally. Yeah. I think like the combination of the shared, we are one of Anna's best friend groups, and they are the other best friend group of Anna. And so we both have so much trust in her, that it was so easy, really, to come together and work together immediately, welcomed into their homes on day one of shooting. And that, that would not be possible on a film project without Anna having laid 12 years of relationship building groundwork before we were filming.
Yeah, you definitely sense that sort of trust with the sisters straight away on camera, and that they're, as you say, almost not just people, but they're characters. I feel like if I bumped into them in the road, I'd be like, oh, it's the sisters, like they're famous or something.
Well, I hope you get to bump into them
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know where we'd have to be in the world, but
in
yeah.
Sheffield this week.
But yeah, Vicky, you're known for writing, Chasing Coral and Emmy winning The Social Dilemma. So I'm wondering what motivated you to step into directing this time with Comparsa, I suppose, as opposed to fiction, it's a different sort of project for you.
Totally. Yeah. So I had worked on, quite a few films by the time we started this project, including, like you mentioned, Chasing Coral and The Social Dilemma, which are two great examples of films that focus on exposing the problems of the sort of many existential crises that we face at this time in human history. And so, Chasing Coral is looking at ocean change as a part of climate change and what the consequences really are there, and they're global and terrifying. And then Social Dilemma is looking at this global system of big social media companies manipulating our behavior, our understanding of truth, manipulating politics, all of the above. And so we're looking at like all of these problems and ways in which society is unraveling, or the human relationships are unraveling. And I really wanted to focus my attention on telling a story about people living the solutions, people who are actually rebuilding, and figuring out methods for creating a resilient community, healing from the traumatic realities of our world, people who are taking face on like these histories of colonialism and sort of rampant late stage capitalism, racism and sexism, and finding a way through that to something that it will now healing and resilient and centered on the right things. And I really, so I was like already had in mind, like I wanted to do a project that was focused on probably women I knew, who were sort of like part of the solution. And I think that it, to me, the direct link between those stories of all the unraveling that is being done in those films that you mentioned, and the reweaving that we really see Leslie and Lupe doing, where they're weaving people back together and then weaving the community back together and using art as a tool to make that happen. And so I think, like, obviously there is no one answer to getting ourselves out of the crises we're in, but I think this is part of the answer, is to figure out how to live in community in this in this way that centers well-being and centers each other. And I think Leslie and Lupe do a great job of helping people dive into their trauma and use it as a fuel for positive change.
Yeah, definitely leaving it on like an angle of hope and optimism rather than doom and gloom, I guess, of what are we going to do? You know, what can we do?
I agree. I was just going to say, like, I also, you know, have been aggravated by films that focus on hope exclusively, as like, hope is not nearly enough, right? For you can't just be the next generation, we have hope for them, right? Like, actual things have to change systemically, structurally. And I see Leslie and Lupe doing that on the local level, where they're not just hoping things get better. They're saying, here's what we want to get better. Here's who we're going to empower to do it. And, you know, so many people in Peronia, some of the people who are most dedicated to the wellness of the community, which, you know, the community is far from well. There are huge issues around resource inequality there and gun violence and corruption. But the people who are doing something to make it work, whether that's a person teaching a dance class or the local butcher, a lot of them were kids at Peroni Adelante and learned how to support community and show up for their sisters and their friends and their family through this program. So, like, the film is not at all about Peronia Adolescente, the organization, but that is the collective inside of which we found these awesome girls that we focus on their, you know, their work and their vision for the world.
Yeah, it's definitely more demonstrating hope, but through action instead, as opposed to just, as you say, just hoping in our minds for something. It's actually putting things into action and changing the community around us, which is what feels hopeful, I think, for me.
Yeah.
And in, visually, I feel like the film sort of blends, you've got cinema verite, but you've also got poetic elements and poetry as well. Yeah, that's what I just said. Poetry is sort of weaved throughout. So I'm wondering how this sort of visual harmony emerged and how you decided on the visual aesthetic of the film and the sequences and what you would be including in the film, you know, between, you know, real moments between the sisters and different members of the community, but also demonstrating how they lived and, you know, the beautiful colors as well of the Ciudad. Yeah, what were your sort of decisions in that part of the film?
I think, you know, both Vicky and I are very, our approach is rooted to a large degree in verite, the verite filmmaking. I think there's, you know, a great value in spending a lot of time with people and being a fly in the wall to follow them through their day and see what unfolds. And a lot came out of that. Literally the first week we were on the ground in 2019, that resulted in us organically just seeing them gather the children to work on transforming this garbage dump into a park, that which is the opening scene of the film after the first scene after the credit sequence. That is literally one of the first things we shot. Also, they just happened, Leslie and Lupe happened to have plans to go into the city center in Guatemala City to attend a vigil in honor of the 41 girls whom they were seeking some form of justice. Again, and we came in not knowing that was going to be the center of the backstory of the film, but we just, you know, to an extent want to see, let their lives and their actions and their environment kind of lead the process to a great extent. And at the same time, we didn't want to be such purists about it that we gave up opportunities to take a little bit more of an active role in forming some different forms that take shape in the film.
Yeah, I'd say like we were theater artists as teenagers. They are theater artists, teenagers. A huge part of their lives is the art that they make. And so then we wanted to find elevated ways to feature their artistic world and show on camera, like sort of use a camera treatment that elevated their art to the magic that it really is. Like, it really is transformative for the teens that participate in this program. And it really does open the hearts and minds of the other people in the community to what kids are capable of, what women are capable of, what women should be allowed to do. Like, so much in the community has changed because of Leslie and Lupe's work in terms of, you know, at first it was seen as something that was cool and all, but girls do it. And then, you know, that has changed over the course of the last decade or so. And it's at least 50% girls working on this youth collective arts movement now and really organizing for positive change in their community. So it felt important to incorporate like the body paint and their stilt walking and their fire arts to show the magic of those elements that really do open portals for people.
And I'll just add, you mentioned the poetic sequences. Also, Leslie and Lupe are both very talented writers and poets. And there were pieces that they had already written when we began production that the very first trip we took, we recorded them reciting the poem about Mi mamá nunca tuvo alas, my mother never had wings, about their childhood growing up, accompanying their mother to her work, trash picker in the Guatemala City dump. So we knew that we wanted their written words to be in the film in some way. And so it took some time to figure out what that form looked like and felt like. And then we also, you know, Leslie and Lupe are both credited writers and co-producers on the film because they took such an active collaborative role in this. And we really wanted to honor that. And we're just, they're just superstars.
They were made for, you know, made for being
absolutely incredible.
Yeah, some of it they wrote for the film and some of it they wrote in collaboration with us and some of it they wrote entirely themselves before we had ever met them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I think that was also important to like walk the walk of film is really about if you can use art to heal, and the writing is an art and the writing is thinking. And so they've processed a lot of their backstory through writing about it in these more poetic ways. And that felt like a more exciting way to showcase their backstory than to just have them like in an interview, like explain their mom's life and how much things have been able to change for them through the art. And hopefully that's coming through in their poetry and in the way we shot the film. But the amount of change that has happened in a single generation from their mother's life with really no education and having to pick trash at the dump versus what they're doing as like artists getting paid to do their art and like completely, you know, they've both finished high school and they've both really already community leaders at this point. So it's impressive what they've done.
It's amazing. And what kind of storytelling challenges did you come across during either production or post-production in terms of maybe, you know, obviously wanting to honor their community and the culture and protect them, but while also showcase them in a way that feels, yeah, respectful and, you know, because obviously what they've been through is it's a very delicate situation to handle and talk about. So yeah, how did you have any challenges while making the film?
That's a great question. I think that one of the things that drove us to want to work together on something was that we both really wanted to do something that was not about issue and was not about an organization or a single idea, that was about characters first and find characters that we could fall in love with and grow with and let unfolding occur with characters at the center of it and really let them lead on where the story was going. So I think one way that we operated was to really let character come first. And then we had our eyes out for themes and for content and for forms that could support where the characters were taking us. And I think it's really helpful. Like I was a writer before I was a director. I really take a writer's approach to directing, where I'm thinking in terms of like, how will we sequence and layer all of these pieces? And when I'm writing on a film, I try to help the team sort of like separate out what is content, what is a form that you want to use, who are the characters, what are the themes? Let's not confuse these things so that we can layer them in effective ways. So I think we brought some of that thinking into this. And it was a huge help that we've worked in the industry in other ways before, because we really know what we're looking for in building a team. You know, I was a writer for 7 years before directing Comparsa, and Doug has been, you know, on gazillions of productions for documentaries, and we've both seen good functional teams and less functional teams, and
Yeah, you know what works and what doesn't after all that experience, or you have a better sense, I'm sure, of that.
Yes, I think for really building an ensemble that you trust, that you believe in, that centers the story instead of their own ego. And I feel like we had that in spades. Like our producers, Olivia and Anna, are amazing. Our cinematographers, Sebastian and Tui, are amazing. Everyone is just like a real team player. I know I'm not naming everyone right now, but. they really are all great, and so it's been really lovely in that regard. And I think a challenge is that like there is just no getting around post-production and editing a documentary being a really lengthy process to do it justice. Like you can get to a halfway decent rough cut, but if you want to refine that into something that really makes the material sing and really gets across what you're looking to get across. Like we stayed in the edit for probably 6 months longer than we thought we would, in order to sort of finally get to the film we really wanted to be making.
Yeah, it's such a big part of the process. Like, I suppose it's like they say, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but a certain percentage of the filmmaking is the editing, is in the editing suite. That's where the film's really made.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
More than you think, more than people think is in the edit. And I would also add more than people think is in the
The filming
pre-production
edit.
and the casting. Like both of those are so much of it. And obviously the shooting also took us
A long
a
time.
long time. So not to undercount that either or
Was there
anything.
certain difficult decisions you had to make in terms of what you were going to keep and let go of ultimately for the final cut?
I feel like I like looking back, how feel so good about where we're at that it's hard to say that any of it was like difficult. But like, you know, earlier on, it was unclear to us how much of different characters we would get to feature. And so like our cinematographer Tui is in the film as a character because he is friends with Leslie and Lupe and a member of this community of artist organizers, and the way he moves through the city with his camera, and he's also a male ally to this group of women that are doing this work. There's like many things that he brings to the story, and we had a bunch of great material with him that like at the end of the day was a little bit tangential to the core story we tried to tell in the end. And so like there are characters we see less of in the film that were really big parts of what happened while we were there. And so, but in the end, it's like, I don't know, every movie I've ever worked on, that's what you're doing. You're carving away to, you know, find the David in the stone. You're shooting hundreds of hours of footage sometimes. We had 100 hours, but I've
No,
worked on
now
projects.
it's up to like 150.
Okay, but built like I've worked on projects that have like 900 hours of footage.
We're not done. We're not done.
And you really have to be like, okay, but what 80 minutes are we going to use of the 900 hours that we shot? But I love that part. Like for me, the dramatical work of like sewing together the pieces that are the really key, beautiful nuggets that embody the story best. I think that's like the fun of it.
Yeah,
So,
definitely. And with all your
yeah.
years of experience, you know, you become more attuned, I'm sure, to, you know, it's quite instinctual when you see something that has got to stay and ultimately what can go probably becomes more evident to you.
Some degree, but I also think like some of it is just practice knowing that it's hard and practice letting go of things that you like. And so, you know, like I think some first-time directors might stand by a piece of film or a scene that's not working in their film because they love it so much and it's one of the best scenes they shot. And it can be so hard to be like, this thing that we love so much that is one of the best scenes that we shot does not belong in the movie that we're making. And take it
Yeah, you
out.
have to sort of let go of that attachment maybe that you have to your work in some ways. And with the premiere coming up soon at the Sheffield Doc Festival, what do you hope audiences will take from it? And what have audiences taken from it so far? Those who have seen it, what has the reaction been, and what do you hope for the reaction to be?
I mean, it's, I should have a quicker answer to this. But I mean, personally, I'm just so excited that Leslie Bay and Marta and Tui, four of the most fundamental members of our team, are going to be present space. I'm just so excited that they will experience it in a room of people who may have varying degrees of familiarity with their part of the world, with their life. And it's just so exciting, I think, to think about that kind of meaning of the worlds. There's something that's fundamentally exciting about that. And hoping that people will, you know, this is a film that touches on some very dark tragedy, and it is ultimately a story about joy. And so I hope that both of those emotions melt.
We had one reviewer who said that she was taking away exquisite pain at how awful some of the experiences of the women are, especially because they're girls, very young women, and also exquisite joy and inspiration at what they were able to accomplish and the healing that they sort of give each other and give us through the process of sharing their stories in the film. And so I think really striking that balance where we open people up, like really feeling that there are consequences to these power structures that don't value women and girls. And also simultaneously open people up to the excitement around the fact that solutions to this are available to us. We don't need a ton of money to do it. We just need a different outlook and a different sort of take on how to come together.
Definitely. Well, it's a great way to end the conversation with you both. I think we've run out of time, but thank you so much. And I wish you all the best for your future projects. If you'd like to quickly share what your next projects are, or is it very much you're all about Comparsa right now?
Yeah, our next project is bringing this film to as many people as we can and to really fundraise for an impact campaign that will allow us to have free community screenings for women and girls. So we're looking for the right funding partners to make Comparsa available to the women and girls who need to see it.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. It was so interesting. And yeah, I hope the documentary reaches far and wide because I really enjoyed it. And I'll definitely recommend people to go and see it when if they get the chance.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Really appreciate your time and your interest in the film.
Thank you. This has been great.
That's it for this bonus episode of The Real Girls Club. A heartfelt thank you to both Vicky Curtis and Doug Anderson for sharing the making of Comparsa with me and for creating such a moving tribute to the power and resilience of young women. If you'll be at the Sheffield Documentary Festival, don't miss the world premiere of Comparsa. It's a stunning, vital film about protest and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. You can find information on how to put your tickets in the episode description. Thanks so much for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, rate and share The Real Girls Club. And don't forget to follow at Real Girls Club on Instagram and keep championing women's voices in cinema. I'll see you in the next one.